Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning on a Saturday morning on the Memorial Day weekend. It's Gina Brown. I'm coming to talk to you today. Got my internet fixed. Took 4 days for the Comcast technician to get here. But, you know, they found a huge surge in my wires. All of my outbound info was not getting out. Now, that made a lot of sense for me because I have been so frustrated with this thing for about 5 or 6 weeks, having to call every other day. I worried about doing a 30-minute show, and would I even be able to do live Google Chats, or would I be able to do live Facebook talking to you? So I'm hopeful now that they've fixed my internet that, you know, I'll do that in the future. We can have some face-to-face. I call Higher Side Chats. I saw somebody on YouTube has that name, Higher Side, like Fireside. I love it. I think it's a smart way of talking. Now, the topic that I picked for this morning's discussion is a revolution is revolting. And it's revolting to me personally because many people talk to me about these grassroots pages that I have and these grassroots efforts that I've worked since 2009 and 10 on various ways to get civic engagement, community engagement, how to manifest, properly love through experiences that I've had and sharing those experiences and telling you, you know, the story of myself and the story of us and how that works together and the story of now, but how can we now proceed, having had a personal conversation and told each other some intimate things where we can bond and build this loyalty and build this trust. Because in organizing, I found it's not the candidate that someone told me one day, it's not the candidate they kept coming back to the office to volunteer, it was because of me, and I know that's true. You know, if you don't build relationships with your volunteers or your followers and people who are friends with you, you're not really going to be an effective organizer. You might be padding your resume to move on to the next job, but you're not going to be effective at motivating people or moving hearts. And I wanted to do the motivation of people and moving hearts because that's who I am down in my backbone, and that's who I will always be. So I don't have any excuses to make for that. People that's known me for a long time know this is true, and my daughter even said yesterday that I'm becoming more and more so like she remembered as a child. And I'm glad for that because it's freeing. It's freeing to be able to manifest like a 30-minute show on Blog Talk Radio. It doesn't cost any money. I don't have any oversight. I don't have any nonprofit, federal grants or grants. I don't have anybody policing Gina Brown or telling Gina Brown what she can talk about, what she should talk about, or what she will talk about. And I don't know how long this will last, but I'm going to enjoy it while I can because today is an important day, Memorial Day weekend, where, you know, we remember those that gave their lives and for us to have a better life. And this is Memorial Day weekend is about honoring veterans, but I say that it even goes further than that and that we honor people who gave their lives to make the world a better place. That, to me, is really what honoring our ancestors is about, those that went before us. And so in choosing the topic, revolution is revolting, I had asked a few people what that word revolution meant because, you know, I've even had people in comment lines on my blog, Gina, you know, we need a revolution, and you can lead a revolution. We must have a revolution. And, you know, I'm seeing this all the time tossed around on Facebook, in social media, and that word revolution you would think the base terminology of it is revolt. Revolt for revolt, revolting, revolution. But it's actually revolve. And when you think of revolve, think about a door that goes around and round, and you jump in while it's moving, and maybe it's going too fast. You can't get out just right then. Or maybe you've got your bags caught and you can't get out. You have to go all the way around that door one more time before you can jump out where you wanted to get off to begin with. And so a revolving door is a great symbol to visualize the process of any revolution in history that's happened. I mean, we can talk about the French Revolution. We can talk about the American Revolution. Revolutions in general, people of wealth and who manage global economies, they know the tipping point for people is when 45% of their income goes to food. When 45% of the income goes to food, you have a revolution on your hands. This is why Marie Antoinette was supposedly said, let them eat cake. She didn't say that. But the point of it is, it was about bread, and they didn't have enough to eat. So this goes clear back to people who are toiling and working in the fields, and yet someone's coming over top of the mountain or top of the hill and gathering your crop and taking a portion of your yield once you work for your labor to have. So I thought it timely to speak about this word revolution and this revolving door, because what truly happens in the process of a revolution is that we go to war, a civil war generally, and then many, many poor people lose their lives, and the very, very wealthy get extremely more so wealthy through the sale of arms. And believe me, they hire mercenaries. Heck, I forget who it was said, the American Railroad guy said he could pay half of the working class to kill the other half of the working class, because he knew good and well hungry people want to get paid and will get paid and will do whatever it takes for not only their own selfish reasons, but perhaps their families. But when I think of hired thugs, Baldwin Felts, from the old days of the coal mine wars, because you know I like to intersperse stories of the coal mine wars with today and yesterday's topics as far as how did we get to this world, how did we get manifested into this greedy society, and how did we get this disparity of wealth distribution. I have to talk about the things that my people went through, because it's very comparable to serfdom. And I saw, and I will post on Facebook when the show is over, it's a great thing from AmendmentGazette.com that shows the pyramidal structure, power, and how the power elite, really the ones that hold the purse strings, are so very few. I think it was Abby Martin in a talk that she gave that said 62 people, just 62 people, own half of the wealth in the world. 62 people own half of the wealth in the world. Now that's monstrous. So I just wanted to say you have to be very aware that that word revolution, it sounds like something new, a rebirth, something new can come of a civil war or of a revolution. But you just can look at let's just look at American War for Independence, American Revolutionary War. What really happened behind that was a closed convention where the white wealthy landowners set up a legislative body, the Senate of Wealthy Landowners, and your House of Representatives, who had just a little less power than the Senate, but you had your judicial branch, which is your Supreme Court, to supposedly help levy and keep the balance of power, not so for the president nor for the legislative bodies, but this judicial would balance it out. But what we really saw with the peasant, I don't know, peasants or Massachusetts, there were veterans from the American Revolutionary War who were being thrown in prison because the new country wasn't able to pay veterans benefits to these people. And so there was a man that led a riot, and he freed people from the prison in Massachusetts, and it caught hold to some of the other early states, and they went releasing people out of debtors' prisons that had fought in the Revolutionary War simply because the government was not sending the pensions that were promised to the veterans. Heck, that sounds like today. Hey, our veterans are not getting disability. Hey, our veterans are committing suicide at a higher rate than has ever been known to man. Hey, people are not getting pensions raised. So, of course, they quelled that rebellion, and, of course, you know, he went to prison, and Shays Rebellion. But we have to understand what history shows us to understand where we're going after that. And if you want to look at the Civil War, there's another good example of lots of poor people, killing one another, while the wealthy landowners and the wealthy and bankers just filled their coffers. Because around the time of the Civil War, you know, they were just coming out with a Gatling gun. But think how wonderful that guy that had a corner on the market for gunpowder, how much money he made. I can't call his name right now, but if you Google it, you'll find him. He's one of them. And these what I call warmongers, okay? Warmongers. And they thrive on a system of revolutions every so often. So someone asked me one day, well, what pushes us to a revolution? Gina, what do you think pushes it? Scarcity and the belief that we are not going to get our needs met, and that somehow if we topple over these people who are the elected presidential or this elected government, or say the king of France, we chop off his head, we're going to get bread. No, what they got was a dictator, Napoleon, you know, and they got more wars. But what that was all about was really European dominance and empire exerting itself and re-exerting itself. It's like a chameleon that keeps changing its colors. But the game never changes. I call it a shell game. I called it in the second show that we've been watching this shell game, looking for the marble under the shell, but we didn't know that the game was rigged. So when people toss out that word revolution, know that it means revolving. And if you go fast enough on the carousel on the playground, what happens? You get slung off. You get slung off. And the reason you get slung off is because the heaviest is going to move towards the outer edges and you're going to fall off. And so what I'm saying to you is the masses of people who have no real value, those are the ones that swing out to the edges and they fall off. And what I mean by that is they die. They die in revolution. And what honor is that? What honor is in that? See, my daughter, which I'm going to get to the Peasants' Revolt. I've got about 12 minutes left. But the Peasants' Revolt in 1381 in England with Wat Tyler and John Ball, he was a Dominican priest who was jailed for talking about the serfs and how they should be freed from these landowners. And then I watched the BBC special. I'll share some links with you on Team Rural Radio Facebook. So there's many, many different kind of connotative stories, and kind of bringing it forward to the city London, the Red Dagger on the 1 mile city of London's financial center, which of course does lots of arms deals with Saudi Arabia and places like that. This Red Dagger and these dragons around the 1 square mile in London's merchant, or their Wall Street, their equivalent of Wall Street, you know, it's like in the maps in the old days, don't go past the dragons. There be dragons that you can get killed. This is true. You know, talking like I'm talking is kind of dangerous stuff, because what I'm trying to reveal to you as my friends and my associates and acquaintances throughout the years is that nothing has changed, nothing. And if anything, we need an evolution. See, evolution is a better word than revolution. Just take the R off. Evolution. Evolution means evolve. And when we're evolving, we're actually moving upward in a spiral, not going downward in a revolving way, but we're going upward. And it's just like a plant that grows and leans towards the sunlight. As humanity evolves, we will have no need for revolution. We will not be fooled into these ideas that these revolutions can be successful, because ever since 1381, there has never been another peasants' revolt. And I was watching a special that said on the BBC that those people's masters or lords were away on crusades. A lot of those tenant farmers were holding court. They were reading Latin. They were not unskilled laborers just doing anything they wanted to do. They were taxpayers. They were people who were mindful of the property. And what happened is the taxes were increased to fund the war. And here their lord was away on crusade. You had these townspeople who, or villagers, who were having kind of a consensus meetings, and of course they were reading and writing the law in the Latin and in the common law of England. And they decided upon themselves they were not going to pay this tax. And so they went to the debtors' prisons and started freeing people in the debtors' prisons that had been thrown into prison for nothing at all but the debt. And let me tell you, folks, it sounds to me like probation costs. 86% of recidivism, why people go to back to jail, is not because they've recommitted a crime. I mean, all of us have had a family member, some family member, a loved one thrown back into jail. It's because they can't pay their probation or parole fee. They can't find a job. So what does that sound like to you? Sounds like a debtor's prison to me. See, it's a shell game. They kind of changed the words a little bit, but they've not changed the game. And so there's plenty of us that are sitting in these private prisons, and I did read something about America holds 5% of the world population, but we hold 25% of the prison population in the world. So if we're a free country and we had this revolutionary war, but then we had a civil war, you know, to free the blacks. No, we didn't. Just look at Jim Crow. Look at slavery by another name. See, they have not changed the game. And we are, through our own false glamour, we can be easily misled and filled with our own self-importance to believe that we are entitled or in some way better than, because we think we're secure in a job or that we have holding a job. And that we are what you call that, productive citizens. And then everybody else that we see around us struggling are not productive citizens, because what they've tried to teach us is that there's not a brotherhood of man and there's no fellow love for one another, because this would be increasing consciousness, see, and a love and an evolution of consciousness. It would actually be, as I like to say, Christ has come. He's appeared on earth. He's manifesting his Christ love, his consciousness in the flesh. You know, it said that people are going to look around here and they're going to look around there and they're always coming in the clouds. I don't think it anywhere says in the Bible that you're going to see him clearly with your visual eyes. But I think that you can feel that the time is ripe for people to start grasping the inner knowledge that the temple is within, and that your heart and your intellect, your mind, can resonate with love, and you can pay homage to a day in a way that honors the life you're living And you do that by putting your heart first. Don't put it on your sleeve. Put your heart out front like a breastplate, like just you're imagining this breastplate, get it put on. Because the way you wake up in the morning and set your mental note will set the mental note for the day. So I don't want to repeat history and see a revolution. What I want to see is an evolution because, you know, I called this grassroots effort of mine Team Rural. And I never knew that there was a rural peasants revolt in 1381. But let me tell you something. They hung women. First off, let's just say that they did some things that my people did in the coal towns. They went freeing the prostitutes out of the city London brothels. These men freed the debtors out of the debt prison, and then they went freeing the women and burning the brothels down. So women were marching with men in 1381. So you want to Google the Peasants' Revolt. But it put such a scare on the monarchy and such a scare on the City London Corporation that when the king agreed to sign a remission that he would, remove this serfdom and let men have their dignity as being brothers and sisters, common from Adam and Eve, that we were all created by this creator, and we all are equal. He portrayed himself as a person who was negotiating with this mob that actually did cross London Bridge, and they burned a good bit of London and cut loose a lot of those people in the churches, the Canterbury and other places. They got the wealth and distributed amongst themselves the population. But, you know, these people had to have been pushed. They had to have been pushed. And it's the same way with the Battle for Blair Mountain. People ask me about that, and it's like a five-day war. Well, the thing is, it took almost 18, 20 years to get pushed into a corner for those men to go to the Battle of Blair Mountain. And believe me, they are pushing us into a corner again. And what we have to do is begin to resonate with our hearts, a dear love for one another as brothers and sisters, and understand that we don't have to repeat history. We do not have to allow what I call corporate masters to influence our hearts and minds, because believe me, they will throw out a grievous thing. And when I say they, I mean intelligence operatives. And they will throw out a grievous situations all across social media and this and that. And this is how Black Lives Matter started. You know, you saw a lot of video cameras on Facebook. Well, why all of a sudden did they get them feeds? And how did all that just start popping up on Facebook? Well, Facebook is a behavioral modification tool. That's what it is. But it also is a way for us to have community. So it's like a teeter-totter. If you can get somebody of equal weight on the other side, well, you can ride really well. Well, so far throughout history, in this greedy period of the Piscean age or the age that we just left, it's been nothing but greed, the corporate greed. And see, we're moving now, and we are in the age of Aquarius, which is the water bearer from the sea up there. He's the water bearer. He's pouring the waters down on the world. And what he's really doing is opening our eyes to who we are and that we are all qualitatively a spark of the atom of God or universal mind, and that's who we are. We're a spark of the divine. And that's what John Ball knew, the Dominican priest that was preaching. That's what Wat Tyler knew in 1381. This is what people know that get involved in revolution. And people who are, you know, like Thomas Paine. I think there was a quote from Thomas Paine that Tyler Watt was an intrepid, disinterested man. And what that meant is he couldn't be bought. And the other thing is that success can only operate in those who are divinely indifferent to it. So we have to start looking at goods and services as what they are. benefits and privileges of a state that's being run to corrupt our lives, to hurt us, and that we can have an evolution of consciousness and rebuild our communities and start reaching out to our neighbors, just start doing little small things that will prove this evolution of mind is something that will manifest here. And I'll link these videos for you so that you can see these were not mobs of people that didn't have education, but they were people of love, compassion, nobility, inward nobility. They had ethics. They had integrity. They had all of the things that the divine spark gives us. Now, qualitatively, we are all a spark of the divine, but you have to do some inner work to get that quantity, quantitative. You know what, honey, I'm willing to do the work for me, but it's a gift I give myself every day, and it's a gift you'll have to give yourself so that we can all come to a given world, and we'll leave that sorry-ass taken world. But we won't do it with a revolution. We will do it with evolution and love. And thank you so much for listening. Have a super fine day.